Grace to you and peace from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. The words for our consideration this morning are found in the second chapter of Acts, beginning at verse 41. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Please be seated. Fellow redeemed in Christ, one of the problems that translators face is that languages are a moving target. And to give you a little context for the reading that we have today, let me read the verse before our text. Peter testified and exhorted the people, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." In the way that we talk today, perversity is usually something to do with unusual sexual behavior. The perversity of this generation that Peter's talking about, though, is not sexual deviance, although that's clearly included in what he has in mind. The Greek word that Peter uses here is scolia, and that's the same word from which we derive the word scoliosis. Perversity here means the making crooked of what was once plain, or the twisting of the simple, or the contorting of the straightforward. The perversity of this generation is always looking to something besides the plain and simple and straightforward truth, something besides God and his word and his will. And in the process, lasting happiness and simplicity is lost in all the contortions and the twisting. The first of this generation, Adam and Eve, they looked to themselves instead of to God, and their happiness was shattered. Their world became an ever more complicated mix of lies, the devil's lies, their own sins, and the Word of God in there, far down the list. When I was a young boy, I used to go fishing with my dad and my grandpa, and I had a cheap reel, and every once in a while, the end would come off, and the fishing line would come off the spool, not in an orderly fashion. It would come off in this big, huge, tangled knot, and those of you who fish know what I'm talking about. In the beginning, the Word of God ordered and created all things. But once humanity slipped past that word at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, all of human life became a giant tangled mess, a knot. By the time of the Lord's visitation in Peter's day, many in Israel, they weren't looking to the scriptures anymore. They were looking to these hundreds of laws that they had concocted to keep themselves from breaking the Ten Commandments. All the while they were breaking the Ten Commandments. All around them, the pagans were paying attention to the confusing oracles of hundreds of gods and listening to the thoughts of their philosophers. In our day, everybody's a philosopher. Social media has given us endless opportunities for communicating, but it leads to a complexity that I'm sure no one could have imagined a few decades ago. We live in a demolition derby now of a thousand different cultures and religions and philosophies. And rather than seeking the simple truth, most in our country have become accustomed to having no idea anymore about what's true, about what to believe, what to do, how to live. Are we not tempted now to live by convenience and just follow the majority? People are swallowed up in the ocean of spiritual theories and overwhelmed by waves of opinion and drowning in information that on balance does nothing for anyone in the long run. Without God's word, without the truth, the simple, beautiful truth, every advance that mankind makes is turned toward enhancing our confusion and increasing the complexity of our lives to no end. Among us, even, gladness and simplicity of heart slips away into the drama of the norms and the stress of the tests and the intrigue of the office. To this, in every age, God says, be saved from this perverse generation. Whether he speaks it by the mouth of Moses or Peter or me here today, God calls to you. He calls out to you. He calls you from this mess. He calls you to himself. He calls you to a new creation and a new and eternal life. In Jerusalem, 2 millennia ago, 3,000 people heard Peter's sermon and were gladdened by it. We don't know how many people didn't pay him any attention that day. It's not really the emphasis here. The emphasis is not on the numbers, but it's on the message. It's on the word of God that he spoke and the gracious, inviting command, calling those early Christians out from the masses. 3,000 people whom one day you and I will meet face to face in heaven. And like them, he calls you out of the masses today. Come, he says. And you have heard gladly. That's why you're here today. The world refuses to recognize the simplicity of God's word. And in fact, the world can't even understand it. And it constantly strives to take this simple word and fit it into the mold of something that's just too difficult for anyone to understand or too obtuse or too confusing. But the truth is, the simple truth is, God loves you. He did not want you or anyone else in this world to live tangled up in sin and pulled down in its net into the abyss of eternal death. And so he sent his own son into this tangle of sin that we made and into the abyss of eternal death in our place. Everything in the real Christian life is about this. Everything that God has prepared for us is eternal in nature. And Peter has a list. Our baptisms last forever, connecting our death and the tangled mess of our sins to Christ as he goes into eternal death for us. Connects us to his life as he takes it up again on the third day and rises to that new life, a new birth by water and the Spirit for you and me. The apostles' doctrine is the teaching of the Scripture, and it's true that every teaching of Scripture is profound enough that you could spend your whole life studying it. But the heart of the apostles' doctrine is loved even by the baptized infant. Fellowship is ours in that we together are one in him, united, equal, yet each individual and a unique, treasured member and contributor to the whole. The breaking of bread is the lasting gift of Christ, the foretaste of heaven, the medicine of immortality. And prayer. Our prayers are received by God because he made us his own dear children and he has become our true father and he's ever willing to listen to us and to pay attention to us and answer in a way that will bring good to us. What more could we want? The mess offered by the world? Part of it seems enticing sometimes, especially when we're distracted by the million things offered up to us every day on the internet. But that new creation in us does not want it, sees it for what it is, because the word points out its context. The Christians of the first century were like us today, and they saw that their earthly possessions were only complications when they were held to be too dear to them. Those Christians had all things in Christ, after all. And we know this truth. We hear it again in God's word. We sing, "Let these all be gone, they yet have nothing won." We spend our lives realizing this truth anew every day, and with it comes a renewed spirit and this simple heart that knows of nothing to trust except Jesus Christ and Him crucified, our God and our Savior. He did get it all right, every last detail, and let that attitude be in us. And let us repeat God's gracious command and invitation to the world: be saved from this perverse generation. Now, I imagine that we may not be received in our day and age exactly like those early believers, but we have God's promise that He will surely keep on adding to His church. Only let us be simple, straightforward witnesses with childlike faith, pointing to the truth, testifying to God's love for us, and living that simple Christian life among the sacred things of God. Amen. Let us rise for prayer. Heavenly Father, grant us the simple, childlike faith. By your word spoken through our brothers and sisters, strengthen the new man in us and turn our attention from the worldly things which twist and distort and distract from the simple truth that you love us beyond all measure. Renew us by your blessed sacraments and grant us to glimpse the reality of our eternal life in you, so that the things of this world will never hold us enthralled. And grant us simplicity of heart, that we may gladly hear and obey your perfect will, and never doubt that you hear our prayers and answer in perfect love. Amen. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.